Since today is Labor's Day weekend, it is a privilege to greet all the fathers, the husbands whose wives are at the camp or at the retreat. I would like to greet you. Happy Labor's Day. I know you are in charge of your household, and that includes all the labors, all the tasks. And also, I really miss singing the hymns, right? So praise God for that. Before I start, let me share to you some hymns. There are hymns also, since it's Labor Day, there are hymns for different professions. They're theme songs. Like, for example, the dentist. Do you know the hymns for the dentist? Crown him with many crowns. Yeah. How about politicians? They have their own hymns too. Yeah. Crown politicians, their hymns are Standing on the Promises. Not all, huh? Optometrists, how about the optometrists? Open my eyes that I may see. That I may see. Yeah, open my eyes that I may see. There's also a hymn for the gossipers, those who spread gossips. Pass it on. How about the electricians? Send the light. Yeah. How about the pilots? I'll fly away. How about the shoe repairman? It is well with my shine. Shine is a shine, pwede. Yeah. It is well with my soul. Okay, let's start with our message this morning by this introduction. Just before World War II, in the town of Itasca, Texas, a school fire took the lives of 263 children. Almost all families in the town were affected by that horrifying tragedy. During the war, Itasca remained without school facilities. But when the war ended, the town began to expand. And in fact, they built a new school which featured the finest sprinkler system in the world. You're familiar with sprinkler system. Civic pride ran high due to their accomplishments. Honor students were selected to guide citizens and visitors on tour of the new facilities to show them the finest, the most advanced sprinkler technology could supply and money could buy. Never again would Itasca be visited by such a tragedy. The town continued to grow. And 7 years later, it was necessary to enlarge the school. And in adding a new wing to the old wing, it was discovered that the sprinkler system had never been connected to the water supply. It's an incredible story. Promoting a technology most advanced, most expensive, but without their knowledge, it was not connected to the source. It's useless. And it's a parable of what is happening today. We Christians have immeasurable power available to us as his children. He has given us great gifts and equipment. But if we are not connected to Jesus for the source of energy, we are living below our potential. One of the things that Apostle John teaches us in John chapter 15 is that God wants us to be productive and successful as his followers. In John chapter 14, after Jesus Christ finished teaching and comforting his disciples in the upper room, where in John chapter 14, verse 1 and in verse 27, he repeatedly taught them, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Trust God and trust me." He repeated that in verse 27. "Let not your heart be troubled." And he teach them about, he comforted them about the coming of the Holy Spirit, which is the paraclete, the comforter. And then at the last verse of John chapter 14, verse 21, he said, "Rise, let us go from here." Verse 31. Scholars believe that as they left the upper room after the Lord's Supper, they walked along the valley. And then they saw the vineyard, which was very common landscape in Israel. And Jesus stopped. He took advantage of the props that the nature provided. It's like giving them an object lesson. He looked at the vine and said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." It's a practical and an object lesson for them. He begins to talk about the vine, the branches, and the fruit as an illustration of the importance of living a productive life. He wants us to be fruitful, but our fruitfulness depends upon our staying connected to the source that creates the fruit. He teaches us in the passage of scriptures that while he wants us to be productive, we cannot be productive as Christians through our own strength, through our own energy, our own ability, our own creativity. But if we allow his life and power to flow into our lives, then there's no limit to what he will do to us. He tells us in verse 5, John chapter 15, verse 5, he said, "Without him, we can do nothing." But there's a balance. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, what Jesus Christ said, Apostle Paul, but it's from, he quoted from, it's a promise. In Philippians 4:13, he said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." It's a balance. Without him, we can do nothing. But with him, we can do all things. God never designed us just to know and trust him and then become passive, inactive, and without bearing fruit. He desires his followers to be part of the work that he called us to do. He wants us to live a productive life. Why it is very important to live a fruitful or productive life? Why? I would like to give you 5 reasons to consider. First of all, it is very important because your fruitfulness is the mark of your genuine faith. That's the evidence. That's the fruit of your genuine faith of being connected to Christ. In the Bible, it is impossible to be a Christian without having any evidence to demonstrate it. Let's read Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit." Jesus is the vine, we are his branches. We are expected to produce good fruits because that's the fruit, the fruit of being connected to him. If one is a Christian, he will have fruit and evidence to show his real relationship with Christ. And if he does not have any fruit, he is what? He is a professing Christian, but there is no life in him. Is it possible for a person to say that he is a Christian but actually not? Is it possible? Yes. Let me give you an example. Remember, we are familiar with Judas, right? He was one of the apostles. He fellowshiped with Jesus Christ. He dined with Jesus Christ, listened to all his teachings, fellowshiped with him, served him for how many years? 3 long years. He even witnessed the miracles of Jesus Christ. And in fact, he was the treasurer of the apostles. But he was not a true follower of Jesus. He was an imposter. So it is possible to go to the motion of being a Christian, telling everybody that you are a Christian because you do this, because you do that, and therefore you are a follower of Christ, but actually, no. Because you do not have any real relationship and attachment with him. the Bible is very clear that if a person is outwardly and inwardly connected with Christ, there will be some evidence of it in his life. There must be. If there is no evidence of your relationship in Christ, the probability is you are not connected to him. Fruit is the mark of your genuine faith. There must be at least one. But if there's none, then it's a question mark. Take note of this. True relationship and being connected with Christ will make a difference in your life. It may not be a great, huge difference, but there must be. Surely you will make a difference. M-A-D. Mad. Making a difference. Not mad like this. Look at the person beside you. Is he mad? Making a difference? Are you mad? If you are not making a difference, then it's... you must have fruit, because the fruit, your fruitfulness is the mark of your genuine faith in Christ. Second, it is the measure of your walk with God. That's how you measure. That's how you evaluate. That's how we know that this person is really a believer and is growing in the Lord, bearing fruit. If we read John 15, we find three different phrases here that qualify our fruitfulness. Verse 2 was mentioned fruit. And then in verse 2b, more fruit. Do you notice that? If you have your Bible. And then in verse 5, much fruit. Meaning, not all followers of Christ are as productive as others. Do you agree? There are levels of productivity. In fact, in Matthew, Jesus Christ said, Matthew chapter 13, verse 23b, he said, as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields. In one case, 100-fold. In another, 60. And in another, 30. So hundreds, some bears fruit, hundreds, 60s and 30s. There's a level of productivity. John chapter 15, verse 2, it's very interesting here. When Jesus Christ said, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. It's very interesting because some translation use the phrase cut off. Takes away, cut off. But you know, the word takes here, takes away in Greek. The original word is airo in Greek. You know what's the meaning in Greek? The word takes away. It's not to cut off, but instead to lift up. If you have your concordance, you have a word meaning in original Greek, it's not to cut off, to cut or to remove, but it's to lift up, to pick it up. And you know, it makes sense because the vine dresser, if he sees a vine that is lying on the ground full of mud and dirt, the vine dresser will lift it up, wash it, clean it, and then put it back to the, they call it trellings, to the guide. Because by nature, it's the habit of the vine. Vine is characterized by its climbing habit. It will only bear fruit by climbing, vertical, growing vertically. It's not bearing fruit on the ground. So the vine dresser, if you see a vine on the ground, he will cleanse it, just like a Christian. They call it, we will not call it carnal, but fleshly. And God will cleanse it. And he will lift it up to move vertically. So that that Christian will bear fruit. That's the first step. Lift it up. And literally, the vines cannot stand on their own. That's very interesting. Need some guide. It's either a string, a wire, or they call it trailing. Trailings. Matthew chapter 9, verse 6. There's some support for this word, iro. The same word that was used in Matthew chapter 9, verse 6 says here, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He then said to the paralytic, rise, pick up, or iro your bed and go home. That's the same word. The word there, pick up, it's iro. So if the meaning of iro is to cut off, so rise, cut off your bed. Divide your bed. It doesn't make sense. And another verse in Matthew 14, verse 20. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. The word took up. That's iro. And they iro 12 baskets. So it's not cut up. Exactly the same word that was used in John chapter 15, verse 2. To pick it up. To rise. To lift it up. Takes away. Not to cut up. The theme of this chapter is abiding. And the more we abide in Him, the more He will use us and produce spiritual fruits in our lives. As we examine our lives, let's ask ourselves, are we developing more fruit? Are we developing much fruit? Are we having much influence than the past? Am I influencing others? Am I overcoming things? Am I manifesting the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Your fruit or fruits is the measure of your walk with God. Third, reason why it's very important to live a fruitful life. It's not the mark of your genuine faith. It's not only the measure of your walk with God, but it is also the motivation behind God's discipline. It's the reason, the purpose of God's discipline. The vine dresser purges the vine in a certain time of the year. There's a season of pruning. They call it pruning or purging or cleansing. The vine dresser removes the sucker shoots. They call it sucker shoots. Little pieces of leaf that go out of the vine that don't have any fruit. Those are sucker shoots. They just suck up all the energy, nutrients out of the vine that could be used to produce more fruit. The purpose of the vineyard is grapes, right? It's not beautiful leaves. It's not attractive vines, but it's grapes. So the vine dresser cuts off the sucker shoots, leaves, and anything that have the tendency to take away the energy, the nutrients that could be used to produce much fruit or more fruit. And the same also with us. We are very busy people, especially here in Christians in North America. We did a lot of things. God significantly blessed some of the things that we do more than others. It's true. And if we are not careful, we become so entangled with what we do that we lost our energy and focus to do the things God wants us to do. We lost our energy like the sucker shoots. We lost our energy to produce things God wants us to produce because we utilize all the energy God provided for our own material and selfish needs. Those are the sucker shoots of our lives. Our effectiveness in the thing God calls us to do is minimized because there's not enough energy to do it. Brethren, this is a time for evaluation for us. Let's get rid of the sucker shoots of life. We need to remember that It is only the vine that produces fruits that experience purging. If you are a fruitless vine, why would the vine dresser purge you? Purging fruitless vine is useless if it's not bearing fruit. But take courage, brethren, when God takes his pruning knife and takes something out of your life so that you can bear more, much fruit. Be ready. God wants to remove those sucker shoots of life that takes away our focus and our energy in producing fruits. And so many times we believers think that anytime there's pruning, it's bad. Sometimes that's our mindset. But you know what? It's opposite to what King David said in Psalm 119, verse 71, when he said, it is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes, that I might learn your commands, your law. It is good that he was afflicted. But it's very opposite to what we're thinking now. When there's pruning, there's trials or sufferings, oh, it's bad. But you know what? It's the motivation behind God's discipline to bear you fruit. When David said this, he learned. He learned to obey God. Romans chapter 5, verse 3, Apostle Paul said, not only that, or more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance or patience. So it's good. Sufferings are good. Who wants her to become patient? Have more patience. Huh? You want to become more patient? Probably God will send you more sufferings. So be careful what you ask. Because suffering produces endurance or patience. And if you read the following verse, it talks about character. And it's good. Pruning is not only removing. Somebody said, I don't know who said this, but pruning, he said, pruning is not only removing what is bad, but also cutting the good and the better so that we might enjoy the best. Amen? Sometimes he removes the good and the better so that we will enjoy the best. You remember Job, right? He lost everything. But after that, he experienced the best. Double of what he has before. Remember Joseph. Joseph can testify on this. Number 4. Living a fruitful life is very important because this is a method of touching other people. When we bear fruit, it's not for ourselves. It's for others. Not that we can have more and enjoy more. Today, the mindset of people, they focus on what they can get from God instead of what they can give to others. Remember, God never blesses us for ourselves. That's not the purpose. He blesses us to be a blessing to others. Take note also that branches do not eat their own fruit. Others do. Have you seen an apple tree? Those of you experience apple picking, cherry picking. Have you seen an apple eating its own fruit? It's for others. It's for humans. It's for the birds and insects and the organisms on the soil. It's for others. It's not for its own. That's the purpose of fruitfulness. It's the way we minister to others. By our fruits, we minister to others. It's the way we touch other people through our words and through our works. The fruit of our words, the fruit of our works, the good works, that's the way we touch the lives of other people, right? That's the method. Brethren, they don't see Christ without us. They don't see Christ to those who believe in other religious leaders. to say it the other way, is that Christians are the only Christ the world would ever see. And they will only see us through the fruits that we are manifesting. By our character, by our good works, by our words. I would like to share to you a story. A group of salesmen went to a regional sales convention in Chicago. They had assured their wives that they would be home for Christmas night's dinner. In the rush through the airport, one of the salesmen accidentally kicked over a table which held a display of apples. Apples flew everywhere, and without stopping or looking back, they all managed to reach the plane just in time, all except for one. He told the others to go on without him and went back to where the apples were all over the floor. He was glad he did, because the little girl, the apple seller, was totally blind. She was softly crying, tears running down her cheeks as she picked up her spilled apples. The salesman knelt on the floor with her, gathered up the apples, put them back on the table, and helped reorganize her display. He set aside the bruised and the battered apples in a separate basket. When he had finished, he pulled out his wallet and said to the girl, "Here, please take this $40 for the damage we did. Are you okay?" The girl nodded through her tears. He continued, "I hope we did not spoil your day too badly." As the salesman started to walk away, the bewildered blind girl called out to him and said, "Sir, are you Jesus?" He replied, "No, but I want to be like him." Did somebody ask you that kind of question? Are you Jesus? Because of the fruit that you manifest? Oh, how I wish that there was somebody will ask that kind of question. Are you Jesus? That man could not get that question out of his head for days. It was such a simple, small-scale event, but it made him see clearly what following Christ and fruit-bearing is all about. Our fruit is the method of touching the lives of other people. It's not only the mark, it's not only the measure, it's not only the motivation behind God's discipline, but it is also the method of touching other people. And last but not the least, it is the means of glorifying the Father. Look at verse 8 of John chapter 15. "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." Our Father is glorified by means of being fruitful and letting the life of Jesus flow through us. Why? Because when we do those things, we are following his example. The same also with earthly fathers. To see their children doing what they modeled as parents, the good things that they do, they will be proud. You remember parents when somebody appreciate their kids? "Oh, your son or your daughter is a good singer in the pottery." Yeah? Like father, like son. "Oh, he looks so handsome or pretty. She looks so pretty." Oh, there's no need to ask that. Look at the father, even if it's not true. Huh? But there's a sense of pride in them. The same also with our Heavenly Father. When we do those things, we follow his examples. I believe our Father looks down upon us, and when he sees us doing the things he called us to do, there's a sense of pride in him. Amen? Your fruit is the means of glorifying him. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works," and what? "And glorify your Father in heaven." That's the means of glorifying him. If you want to please the Father, that's the goal of Christianity. That's the purpose of our existence, to glorify God. And if you want to glorify Him, bear fruit. More fruit. Much fruit. Let your light so shine before men. Now, what does it mean to be fruitful? How can I be fruitful? Since we talk about fruitfulness, I will give you quickly the practical, the basic principles of fruitfulness. There are five. Five ways in order for us to be found fruitful. First, I'll share to you the five basic quickly. It's character. Character, who I am. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. We're familiar with this. But the fruit, take note of the word, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Before, if you read the verses prior to that, you can read there, hate, all the opposites of this. Fleshly and having that the result of the sinful nature. But here, the works of the fruit of the Spirit. It's before it's hate, selfishness, impatience, and harshness, and all those negative things, characters. And it does not come naturally, but it happened as the result of our relationship with Him by abiding in Him. Galatians 5, 19 to 21. Those are the works of the flesh. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like this. I warn you, as I warn you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But now it's opposite. Because you are connected, you abide in Christ. The fruit is different. It's a good fruit. You know the tree? You will determine the tree by its fruit. If the tree is good, it will for sure bear good fruits. If the tree is bad, the fruits are bad. It's character, who I am. Second, it's conduct, what I do. Conduct, what I do. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. You see there the word, bearing fruit in every good work. It's conduct. It's the things that you do. Good work. It's not only your character, but it's the conduct. By doing good works, it will be considered as fruit. And it will, again, it was mentioned there, fully pleasing to God. Doing good works are pleasing to the Father. We are not saved by good works, but we are saved for what? For good works. He called us to do good works. Good works which will ultimately glorify Him. The third one, it's contribution, what I give. It's also a fruit. Philippians chapter 4, 15 to 17. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs. Once again, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit or to your account. Paul was so thankful to them for their giving. The Philippians were partners in the gospel by their giving. He was thankful for them for their giving, but more than that, he was more excited of the fruit that abounds to their account. The fruit, he mentioned here, the fruit that increases to your credit, was talking about their being generous. So your contribution, your giving will be considered. Your being generous is also considered your fruit. Do you agree? That's a fruit. When we give to God, when we give to others, when we become generous, that is the great evidence of God working in us. That is the evidence of fruitfulness. So we have three basics here of fruit bearing. The character, who I am, the conduct, what I do, the contribution, what I give, and the fourth one is it's communication, what I say. What you say, it's your words. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Through him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Fruit of lips. What is that? What does it mean? When you worship and praise the Lord, it's your fruit. Praising him. Giving thanks. Worshiping him wholeheartedly. Singing from your heart. Singing sincerely. Those are the proofs of fruitfulness. You know what's the difference between music and noise? You know the difference? Music is defined as a sound that is loud. I mean, music is a sound that expresses ideas and emotions with melody and harmony. Some of us are doing that when we sing to the Lord. We worship him, praising him. We do music. But how about noise? Noise is a sound that is loud, unpleasant, or that causes disturbance. And some of you are doing that too when you sing. You agree? Noise? Loud and pleasant. But you sing it from your heart. You sing it wholeheartedly, sincerely. Is that acceptable to God? Is that a fruit or no? Still, it's a fruit. And it's biblical. You're singing out of tune? Psalm 100 verse 1. Let me give you a verse. Psalm 100 verse 1. A psalm for giving thanks. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. So if you sing out of tune, then do it. That's the fruit of your lips. But please don't join the choir. Please. So it's communication, what I say. It's the fruit of your lips. And the last but not the least, it's converts who I win. Converts. That's also a fruit. The Bible says that when we become Christians, one of our responsibilities is to share to others what Christ has done to us. Romans chapter 1, verse 13. I want you to know, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you, as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. It was mentioned there, reap some harvest, but in other translations, that I might have some fruit among you. Have some fruit. So if you share the gospel to somebody and if that person will receive and trust Christ as his or her own Savior, that's your fruit. Like what Apostle Paul said, that he was his desire to go to Rome, that I may have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. Some of us are afraid and ashamed of sharing the gospel. But let's ask the Holy Spirit to empower us to start sharing it, sharing the gospel to those who are lost. So here's the basic fruit of fruitfulness. It's character, who I am. It's conduct, what I do. It's contribution, what I give. It's communication, what I say. And it's converts, who I win. If we have this basic list of fruitfulness and you are not on the list, any of this, I think you better go back and examine whether you are really in the faith, whether you are really connected with Christ. Because it's not possible for you to be a Christian and have none of these things happening in your life. It's not possible. That's what the Bible says. By their fruit, you will know them. So my question for you this morning is, are you sure that you are connected with Him? Are you a Christian? It's either of the two. You're either a question mark or an exclamation point. A person cannot become a Christian by just going here to church every Sunday and Wednesdays, any other day. Joining fellowships, quoting Bible verses, singing Christian hymns, but by being connected to Christ, abiding in Him. And once connected, fruit must be evident. Some are bearing fruit, some more fruit, some much fruit. But there must be a fruit, and you will surely make a difference. M-A-D. How? By trusting and believing Jesus Christ as the true vine. Let's bow our heads.